الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله بالهدى ودين الحق أرسله صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم. قال الله تبارك وتعالى في شان حبيبه في القرآن المجيد: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد عدد ما في علم الله صلاة دائمة بدوام ملك الله صلاة وسلام عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله غض عزم بمن بسر وسامة مدد قبل يدي مدد كعبة وإمام مدد قادر يمنار يا غض عزم ميزنم دمز شيخ أحمد رضا خان قطب عالم ميزنم بغير ضابة ببلا يفتاد قشتي ضعيفان شكستارات قشتي بحق حضرت خواجة عثمان هاروني مدد كن يا حضرت خواجة معين الدين چشتي مدد کن یا حضرت خواجہ معین الدین چشتی مدد کن یا حضرت خواجہ معین الدین چشتی. السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. میرے نہایت ہی واجب الاحترام علماء کرام خصوصاً امام صاحب قبلہ اور واجب الاحترام سعادات کرام اور معزز سامعین میں سے میرے سنی رضوی بریلوی بزرگوں بھائیوں دوستو، مختصر سے خطبے کے بعد اس سے قبل کے کچھ گزارشات عرض کروں، اللہ سبحانہ و تعالیٰ سے دعا ہے کہ اپنے حبیب لبیب رعوف الرحیم کے صدقے و طفیل مجھے حق کہنے کی توفیق عطا فرمائے اور ہم سب کو حق سننے کی، سمجھنے کی، قبول کرنے کی اور اس پر عمل کرنے کی توفیق عطا فرمائے. میں آج آنے سے پہلے سوچ رہا تھا کہ کون سے موضوع پر کچھ گزارشات عرض کروں، اور یہاں پہنچ کر اب میں سمجھتا ہوں کہ میرے کچھ کہنے کی ضرورت ہی نہیں. وہ اس لیے کہ یہ دونوں بچوں نے جو نعت شریف پڑھی اس میں محبوب پاک صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وسلم کی نعت بھی ہے، تقریر بھی ہے اور نصیحت بھی ہے. زندگی یہ نہیں ہے کسی کے لیے، زندگی ہے نبی کی، نبی کے لیے. اب دونوں بچوں نے یہی کلام پڑھا اور میں سمجھتا ہوں کہ ان دونوں بچوں نے ایک شعر میرے لیے چھوڑ دیا کہ زندگی یہ نہیں ہے نبی کے لیے، زندگی یہ نہیں ہے کسی کے لیے، زندگی ہے نبی کی، نبی کے لیے جن کے دل میں ہے عشق نبی کی طرف، وہ ترستے نہیں چاندنی کے لیے۔ آج انشاءاللہ اسی پر ہی گفتگو ہوگی۔ All praise be to Allah Almighty and infinite salutations upon the best of all creation, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, upon his blessed family, his blessed children, his blessed wives, and all of his blessed companions radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in the Holy Quran, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Allah Almighty states that, O Mahbub, O beloved, you say that if you truly love Allah, if you truly love Allah Almighty, then follow me. What will happen when you follow the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam? يُحْبِبْكُمْ اللَّهِ. Allah Almighty will love you. And not only will Allah Almighty love you, He will forgive all your sins. And you will find Allah Almighty to be most merciful and most forgiving. Now, wherever you travel in the world, everybody claims to follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Everybody claims to love Allah Almighty. Everybody claims to love the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. We also claim to love the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. We also claim to be following the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. Har kisi ka daawa ye hai ki hum Nabi Kareem sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam ki ittiba karte. Har daawe ke liye daleel hona zaruri hai. For every claim, you must have some supporting evidence. For example, if I say that Hafiz Saab has stolen my watch, and the police come and arrest him, and they lock him up, then they will give us a court date. We will both go to court. They will put him in one dock, they will put me in the other dock. And the judge or the prosecutor or the lawyers will read out the accusation against him. The court will then ask me, what evidence do you have? Any witnesses? Do you have any evidence at all? And if I say I have no evidence at all, what will happen to my claim? My claim is going to be thrown out. My claim is going to be rejected completely. Because I have nothing to support my claim. We all claim to follow the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. What is our supporting evidence? Maybe you don't need me to tell you. Maybe this is something for you to ponder. Especially those people who claim to love the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, who claim to follow the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and even after knowing that the salah is the coolness to the eyes of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, people still neglect the prayer. People still neglect the prayer after knowing that the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said that salah is coolness to my eyes, and then still claim to be following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The people who claim to follow the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wasallam yet do not pay their zakah. The people who claim to love and follow the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wasallam whilst having the means do not go to perform hajj. The people who claim to love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, claim to follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yet are shaving the beloved sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wasallam. This is for those people to ponder and think, are our claims real or are they just merely words? Everybody has a claim. We all need to look at ourselves before we go to sleep and see what supporting evidence do we have to back up our claims. Now, some of you may be thinking that who on earth is this guy standing up in front of us and telling us that our claims have no supporting evidence. See, I also have a claim. See, sometimes it's difficult to explain something. And my asatiza, and Imam Sahib's asatiza, and their asatiza before them, and their teachers before them, always taught that if you cannot understand something, or you cannot explain something, then go to one of these two courts, or go to these two courts, you will understand and you will be able to explain. And my Pir Murshid, my teacher, would say that when you cannot explain something, when you cannot understand something, go to the court of Sheikh Sa'di alayhi rahmah, or go to the court of Huzur Imam Jalaluddin Rumi radiyallahu anhu. Whichever of these two courts you go to, you will understand and you will be able to explain. So let us go to both these courts today. Huzur Sheikh Sa'di alayhi rahmah, he talks about me. He says, گلی خوشبوئے در حمام روزے رسید از دست محبوبے با دستم بدو گفتم کہ مشکی یا عبیری کہ از بوئے دل آویزی تو مستم با گفتا من گلے ناچیز بودم ولیکن مدتے با گل نشستم جمالے ہم نشی در من اثر کرد وگرنا من ہما خاکم کے ہستم. سے سبحان اللہ. Now let me explain to you why I told you to say سبحان اللہ. حضور شیخ سعدی علیہ رحمہ, he says that once I went to a washroom and I could smell the most beautiful fragrance I have ever smelt in my life. He said, I looked around the room. I could see nothing to suggest that this fragrance should be coming. He said, I saw a small plant pot with a little bit of soil in there. And when I went closer, I noticed that this beautiful fragrance is coming from this soil. So I looked at the soil and I said to it, are you mushk? Are you musk? Or are you abiri? Abiri is a mix of sandalwood and agarwood. What on earth are you? And the soil looked at me and said, oh Sadi, why are you so surprised? The soil have no right to even smell nice. Why are you so surprised for?
Sheikh Sadiq said, I've never smelled fragrance like this before. What on earth are you? What kind of fragrance are you? And the soil replied to him, that I am nothing. I am worthless. I am just soil. There's nothing which makes me special. I am nothing of value. I am just plain and simple soil. But the one thing which I have my claim to fame is that for a few days of my life, I have spent at the feet of some beautiful roses. And due to being at the feet of these beautiful roses, today I also have the ability to give up the smell, the same fragrance as these beautiful roses. He says, I know what I am. I am worthless. I am useless. But just due to me spending a little time at the feet of these beautiful roses, today people can smell the same fragrance from me. This is my claim. I am nothing. But alhamdulillah, I have spent a few days at the feet of some beautiful roses. And this is why I am here today. Otherwise, there's nothing special about me. Huzur Maulana Rum alayhi rahmatu Ridwan says, there was once a king, a very rich king, and he spent his whole life in luxury. And when he had bought everything, he thought, now maybe I should settle down, find a wife, and live a simple life. So he thought, if I get married to a royal princess, see, those of you who are married will understand what I'm about to say now. If I get married to a royal princess, my expenditure is going to go through the roof. So I'm going to marry a poor woman and live a simple life. So he looked around his city and he found a poor woman. So he asked the parents if he could get married. The parents agreed. And the king said, okay, what I want you to do, until we can prepare for the wedding, move into the palace. So the girl, the mother, and the father moved into the palace. After a few days of them living in the palace, the girl fell ill. And day by day by day, she got worse and worse and worse, until she was on her deathbed. Now the king is thinking, I finally decide to change my life around. I find a poor woman and she's about to die. Things can't get any worse for me. So he goes out into his gardens and he can't believe what he's done wrong. He goes down into sajda and he's crying. And while he's in sajda and he's crying, he falls asleep. In his dream, he hears a voice saying that the answer, the solution to your problem, you will find outside the gates of your palace after Fajr tomorrow morning. So the king, he spends all night waiting for Fajr, the longest night of his life. He reads Fajr, runs out through the courtyard on the other side of his palace, and there's nobody there. He waits and waits and waits. After a little while, an old imam comes out of his masjid and comes out onto the street. The king goes and grabs him, you are my savior. He said, no, I'm not your savior. He said, you are my savior. He said, I am the imam. He said, you are my savior. So he brings him to the palace. And he tells him the story. So the imam sahab says, okay, so imam sahab is a hakim, so he checks the pulse of this girl. And he says to the king, I need a person who is an expert in the geography of the world. king looks at him and he's thinking, I'm wanting you to treat this woman. From what you're asking from me, it looks as though you need treatment more than her. I'm asking you to treat her, she's on her deathbed. And you're asking for a geography teacher. Anyway, he organizes an expert in geography to come. So this Imam Sahib, the Hakim Sahib, he says to this expert, I want you to call out the countries of the world. So he starts calling out the countries of the world and he's got hold of her pulse. And when he mentions the country Iraq, he says, stop. He says to the king, is there anybody who is from Iraq? They said, there's one person, but he was there a long time ago. Call him. So they call this man, and he says to him, can you go through all the cities of Iraq? When he gets to the city of Baghdad, the Hakim says, stop. Do you know the area of Baghdad? This man says, yes, I am originally from Baghdad. He goes, go through the areas within the city of Baghdad. When he gets to a particular area, the Hakim says to him, stop. How many houses, how many streets in this area? He says, there's only four streets. Can you name me the streets? When he gets to one of the streets, he says, now stop. How many houses in this street? He says, three houses. Can you name me who owns these houses? He names one house. He names the next house. The third house, he says, this is the house of Abdurrahman. He says, stop. Does Abdurrahman have any children? Yes, he has two boys. Can you give me the names? He says, one is called Abdul Jabbar and one is called Abdul Rauf. As soon as the person mentions the name Abdul Rauf, the girl stands up. The girl stands up. And Huzur Maulana Rum radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, this is a story of worldly love. And those of you who claim to love the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, your claim is fake. This is not me saying. This is Imam Jalalul Millati Waddin, Imam Jalaluddin Rumi saying. He says, your claims are fake. Why? Because if a name of a worldly love can bring a woman back to life from her deathbed, then why is it those who claim to love the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam are still asleep when the muazzin calls the name of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam in Fajr? Something to ponder. When the Buzurgani Deen speak, then we don't need to speak. Then it's for the people to think for themselves. My dear brothers in Islam, let me take you to the court of those blessed personalities who did not make any claims whatsoever. But yet we say they are the ones who love the Prophet ﷺ more than anybody else in the world. They made no claims. Yet we say those are the ones who Allah Almighty love. They made no claims. Yet we are the ones who today say those are the ones who were obedient to the Prophet ﷺ. Those are the ones who followed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Those are the ones who loved the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. My dear brothers, before the battle of Tabuk, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gathered all the companions. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "O my companions, Islam needs your assistance." One of the companions got up and he brought a quarter liter of syrup from dates. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, I have half a liter of syrup which I just made yesterday. This is a quarter. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam gave him dua. Another companion got up. He brought a handful of dates. Sayyidina Uthman Al-Ghani radiallahu ta'ala was sitting there. He brought provisions and armor for 10,000 soldiers. He gave 10,000 gold dirhams just at the single call of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala is sitting there. And he's thinking, all my life, Sayyidina Abu Bakr has beaten me in reward. Today, business-wise, I'm very well. But Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq is not so well. Today is my turn. You've heard this many times before. Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala who goes home, splits everything down the middle, 50-50, brings it to the court of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, presents it, Ya Rasulullah, this is from me. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, what have you left at home? Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu replies, I have left 50% at home. Sayyidina Siddiqi Akbar radiallahu ta'ala also stands from the court of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, goes home. He has one curtain. He takes down the curtain, puts it down in the middle of the room, gathers everything and puts it into the sheet. Puts it onto the sheet. And then thinks, who is asking? The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is asking. He takes off his clothes off his back. The clothes he's wearing, he takes them off, puts that on the sheet also. He has a sack hanging on instead of the door. He takes that and tears it into two, makes one as an undergarment and gets one like a chadar. Now he sees some thread and a needle and he thinks, I should maybe sew. And then thinks, who is asking? The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is asking. He puts the needle and the thread into the pot and goes outside and from the tree, from the babul tree, gets a thorn and uses the thorn to tie his clothes instead. Takes everything to the court of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam sees Sayyidina Abu Bakr coming and he says to him, oh Abu Bakr, what are you wearing? What is it that you're wearing? And what have you left at home? Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala who says that I have left Allah and his most beloved sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam. So he's brought everything. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam asks again, oh Abu Bakr, what are you wearing? Before Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala who can reply, Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam comes to the court of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He presents salam in the court of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam looks at Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam. He's wearing the same attire. He's wearing the same sack as Sayyidina Abu Bakr. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now asks Sayyidina Jibreel, oh Jibreel, what are you wearing? Sayyidina Jibreel says, by Allah, Ya Rasulullah, not only me, after seeing this action of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Allah has commanded every single angel to wear the same clothes as Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq. Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam says to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah Almighty asks you to ask your beloved a question. Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam says, Allah says, ask Abu Bakr Siddiq the state of poverty he is in now. Ye halate fakar mein. The state, he's even given the clothes off his back. He has nothing left to his name. Everything he's given to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Almighty asks, oh Abu Bakr, are you happy with your Lord or are you upset with your Lord? Look at the state you are in. Kya tum apne Rab se razi ho ya naraz ho Abu Bakr? And Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala who falls to his knees crying, Ana an Rabbi radin, Ana an Rabbi radin, Ana an Rabbi radin. Oh my Lord, I am happy with you. Even in this state, I am satisfied with you. Ay Allah, main tujhse razi, is halat mein bhi razi. Ay ishq tere sadke, jalne se chhute saste, jo aag bujha degi. This is the love of the companions. This is the obedience of the companions. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq needn't make any claim whatsoever. Let us go to the court of Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu. There was once a munafiq. A munafiq is the one who reads the kalima from the tongue, but he has no kalima in his heart. His name was Bashar. Now Bashar had a disagreement with a Yahudi over some land. And he went to the court of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Bashar gave his version of events, gave his opinion. The Yahudi gave his opinion. And the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, after listening to both of them, ruled in the favor of the Yahudi. They left the court. Now Bashar the Munafiq was bubbling. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ruled in the favor of a non-Muslim, in the favor of a Yahudi, he's bubbling, and he sees Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala coming. He gets very happy, he's rubbing his hands. He knows, ashiddahu ala al-kuffar, that Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala is harsh upon the non-Muslims. So he says to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, we have a problem, we have a disagreement, can you do a judgment in between us? Can you give us a decision? So he quickly tells his story. That this guy, he keeps mentioning, this guy is a Yahudi. We have a disagreement over our land, but this guy is a Yahudi. He mentioned it about 20 times, 25 times throughout the conversation. When he finishes talking, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala turns to the Yahudi and says, okay, now there is your chance for you to give your version of events. The Yahudi starts by saying, well, we have just come from the court of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam ruled in my favor, and Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala says, stop. I've heard enough. Now Bashar the Munafiq is really happy. He didn't even get a chance to tell his story. Now Sayyidina Umar is definitely going to rule in my favor. Sayyidina Umar says, okay, I will make my decision in one moment. He goes into his room, comes back out. Remember the ayah, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّابِعُونِ. And he says to both of them, there is only one decision for those who are disobedient to my master. He takes out his sword and chops off the head of Bashar the Munafiq and says, this is the decision of Umar. See, none of the companions said to Sayyidina Umar, oh Umar, you've killed a Muslim. None of them said that. They knew that somebody who's come from the court of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam and has still not accepted the decision, the judgment of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doesn't even deserve to live. Let us go to the court of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu. Sayyidina Uthman al-Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu once did the da'wat of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He invited him home for a meal. And when the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam left with the companions from the Masjid Nabawi Sharif, normally what these companions would do, they would stay a few footsteps behind the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But today the world saw a completely different sight. They saw the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam walking towards the house of Sayyidina Uthman. A little bit of a distance behind, they saw the rest of the companions walking behind. And a long distance way back, they saw Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala walking with his head down. When the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala saw this, he stopped. And he waited for everybody to catch up. When Sayyidina Uthman al-Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu caught up, he said to Sayyidina Uthman, Uthman, why are you taking so long? What are you doing? Subhanallah. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu started to cry. He said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, since the day I became Muslim, every single Friday I freed a slave for the sake and the pleasure of Allah Almighty. Every single Friday. Today, I wish to do something for the pleasure of the beloved of Allah Almighty. And today I vowed, my love didn't tell me to free one slave. My love said to me that if you truly love the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wasallam, then do something different. So ya Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala wasallam, I have vowed that for every single step you took from Masjid Nabawi Sharif to the house of Uthman, I will free a slave. None of the companions said to him, oh Uthman, this is extreme love. This is too much. Where does it say in the Quran to do this, to love the Prophet ﷺ so much? The companions knew that this is the love of the Sahaba Ikram of a mu'min. When it comes to loving the Prophet ﷺ, there is no extreme. Sayyidina Uthman al-Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu freed one slave for every single step the Prophet ﷺ took to his house. And Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, we heard the story where the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam had already prayed his Asr Salah. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu has not prayed his Asr Salah. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam lays down to rest and lays in the lap of Sayyidina Ali. Sayyidina Ali is looking at the face of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala and looking at the beautiful eyes of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's looking at the blessed lips of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's looking at the blessed hair of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Kaf gesu hadahan ya anke abru ayn saad. Kaf ha ya ayn saad hai unka chehra noor ka. He's looking at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's face. And he's also looking at the sun. The sun is setting. The sun is setting and it's losing its glow and its shine. But the sun, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala is looking at, his glowing even more than the sun. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam awakes. He says, oh Ali, have you read Salah? Ya Rasulullah, I didn't want to disturb you. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not get angry. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Allah Almighty, oh Allah, Ali was in the service, Ali was in the obedience with me. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded the sun. It came back. Sayyidina Ali performed his prayer. This is why Allah Hazrat Azim al-Barkat says, ke suraj ulte paao, palte, chand ishare se ho chaak, ande najdi dekh le kudrat Rasulullah ki. And if you look, Allah Almighty didn't show his displeasure. Allah Almighty stamped it in the Quran. Man yuti'ir Rasulah faqad ata'a Allah. That whoever is in the service of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is actually in the service of Allah Almighty. Look at the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah Hazrat Azim Barakat radiyallahu ta'ala kya khub farmate hain, jano dil tere kadam parware, jano dil tere kadam parware, kya naseebe hain tere yaron ke. And then referring specifically to these four, sidko adlo karamo himmat mein char su shohre hain in charon ke. This is obedience. This is why we say that these are those who truly love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. None of them made a claim. We are the ones who are making the claim. Their actions are supporting our claim about them, whereas our actions do not even support our claim. Let us go a little bit further. Urwa ibn Mas'ud, he was the representative from the Kuffar Makkah. He came to sign a peace treaty at Hudaybiyah with the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. Now he came, he sat, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam is there, many companions sitting around, and there's a man who's standing next to Urwa ibn Mas'ud. He's in full body armor, full armor for war. He has a huge sword in his hand. These huge swords, probably 10 of us couldn't even lift. And like the Arabs do, if you see the Arabs talk with their hands. Urwa ibn Mas'ud is talking to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's going like this. And his hands, while he's talking about the peace treaty, are going closer and closer and closer towards the blessed beard of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Now the companion standing, he sees that the fingers are about to touch the blessed beard of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What does he do? He swishes his sword round so that the handle, the heavy bit, is on this side, and whacks this person's arm and moves his arm back. And he says to him, do not touch the beard of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is your last warning. If you even move your fingers from a closed position in the direction of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, never mind your fingers, you will never ever see your arm again. Urwa ibn Mas'ud said to the people, do you know who I am? I am the representative of all the chiefs of Makkah. Anything happens to me, even a scratch, it's as if you have declared war upon the all of the chiefs of Makkah. And this man standing next to him said, I don't care who you are. Just remember, any of your fingers point towards the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I'm going to take off your arm. So Urwa ibn Mas'ud says to the people, who is this kid? And they said, this kid is Mughira ibn Shu'bah, your nephew. His nephew is stood there ready at any moment to chop the arm of his uncle just because his fingers are pointing towards the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They're not looking at family ties. Even today, when people don't look at the respect and the disrespect of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, but they put family ties first. Learn from this incident. Family ties come afterwards. This is what the Sahaba Ikram has taught us. And the final incident. Two brothers. One called Sayyiduna Muhaysa, and his brother, his elder brother, called Huwaysa. They were businessmen in Medina Sharif. Muhaysa was only a young child, 12 years old, 13 years old. And Huwaysa was a fully grown man, 30 years old. They used to deal with Jewish people. They had many dealings with them. And they were quite well off. Now, one time, when the Munafiqs and the Yahudis started disrespecting Allah Almighty and His most beloved sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam openly, then the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam gave permission to the companions to, now you can answer them back. Watch these words, answer them back. So now Muhaysa is walking down the street and he sees one of his business partners, one of the Jewish people who has helped him all through his life. And he disrespects the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Muhaysa takes out his sword and chops off his head and brings his head home. He brings his head home. He comes to the doorstep and his brother Huwaysa sees him. And he says to him, oh little boy, what on earth have you done? Do you know how many favors this Yahudi has on our family? This fat, all the fat on your body is due to him. And he gets a bar and he starts to beat him. He starts to beat his younger brother. His bones are breaking. His head is bleeding. His teeth are breaking. He's bleeding and he's beating him and beating him and beating him. And he says to him, you went and killed a person just at the command of one person? Now, as soon as he said, just at the command of one person, Sayyiduna Muhaysa stood up. He stood up and he looked his brother in the eye. And he said to him, oh, Huwaysa. He didn't say, oh, my brother. He said, oh, Huwaysa. Now, to his brother, he doesn't look very small anymore. Although he was half his size, his brother is seeing him and he looks double his size. And he's looking at him in his eyes. And he says to him, oh, Huwaysa, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam commanded, if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was to only hint, agar Mahbub Pak sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam sirf ishara farma dein, I won't even blink, I won't even think twice, I'll chop your head off too. This is his real blood brother. He said, I won't even think twice, I'll chop your head off too. And he's looking at him in the eyes. And at that moment, his brother knows that this little kid is no little kid anymore. And what he is saying, he means it. He says, I have only one reply to you, my brother. Huwaisa says to Sayyidina Muhaisa, I have only one reply to you. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Sayyidina Muhaisa is looking at him and thinking, what on earth has gone on? What have I just done? I was on the floor quietly taking a beating and nothing happened to you. I stood up to you face to face and threatened to chop off your head, and now you read the kalima. What's going on? And his brother says, do you know what made me read the kalima? Your steadfastness. He said, I was thinking you could have easily said to me, oh brother, I made a mistake, I won't do it again, I'm really sorry, I did it out of emotion. It would not have had any effect on me at all. But because you looked at me in the eye, man to man, and you said it as it was, and you even threatened me, and I know that you are telling the truth when you say that you would have no hesitancy in chopping my head off too, I knew that there's so much love and so much obedience at the command, and one person can only be true. See if there's one lesson we learn from this incident and the other incidents. Both of the boys who read the kalam of Huzur Taj Sharia radiallahu ta'ala anhu, they both read this couplet, Sulha kulli nabika nahi sunniyo, sunni muslim has sacha nabi ke liye. The brother Muhaisa could have acted like the Sulha kulli very easily and sat on the floor and said, oh, galti ho gayi, bas main waise jazbaat mein aa gaya tha, ye ho gaya, chalo maaf kar de, apni jaan bacha leta. Lekin the problem there is, by being sulha kulli, you not only create fitna, you put your own iman at risk. By being steadfast, what happened? The blessing of him being steadfast affected his brother so much that he brought iman. This is why Huzur Taj Sharia says, Sulha kulli nabi ka nahi sunniyo, sunni muslim has sacha nabi ke liye. We must be steadfast. Whether it's the honor of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, whether it's the ilm-e ghaib of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, whether it's the blessed mawlid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, whether it's the status and maqam of the awliya-i kiram, we must stay steadfast. Relations, family ties, business ties are all secondary. The love of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam must come first. If there's anything we take from our gatherings here, from the blessed mawlid, it needs to be this. Put your love for the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam and your obedience to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam first. And look at the ayah, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمَ اللَّهُ. If you truly love Allah, then follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Be obedient to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What will happen? Allah Almighty will love you. Allah Almighty will forgive all your sins. And you will find Allah Almighty to be the most forgiving, most merciful. Allah Almighty, keep us steadfast till the day we breathe our last. And grant us khatima upon iman. And grant us the shade of the mercy of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam when we are in our graves, when we are at the mizan, when we are at the Hawd al-Kawthar, and when we are crossing the Pul Sirat. And Allah Almighty grant us the honor to stand behind the ghulams of Allah Hazrat Azim al-Barkat and read Mustafa Jani Rahmat Pilaku Salam, Shem'i Bazme, Hidayat Pilaku Salam on the Day of Judgment. Yu Raza, Aaj Gali Suni Hai, Ut Mere, Dhum Bachane Wale, Wa Ma Alayna Illa Al-Balagul Mubin.